Tuckerton Beach is a lagoon neighborhood on the edge of mainland New Jersey, inland and across a bay from Long Beach Island. During Hurricane Sandy, bay waters surged into tiny inlets cut into the neighborhood, flooding yards and streets. Aerial photos from the storm show lines of houses stranded in the swollen bay.
All these homes, which never have seen water, they took water in.
That's Tuckerton Borough Administrator Jenny Gleghorn giving me a tour.
The next day we came down here and I thought I was in a war zone.
President Obama will travel to New Jersey tomorrow afternoon to tour areas along the coastline ravaged by the storm.
You had bells going off because of fire alarms where the homes were like completely knocked off their foundation.
This one crashed into the house next to it.
Gas pipes completely exposed and all you hear is the noise of gas leaking.
The level of devastation at the Jersey Shore is unthinkable.
It was horrible looking afterwards.
Today, Tuckerton Beach looks like typical suburbia, just with canals instead of backyards. 21 months after the storm, most of the homes have been replaced or repaired and put up on stilts. Gleghorn laughs as we pass a tiny wooden bungalow perched on stilts.
They took a beat-up old shack and put it as high as they can to meet the standards.
As homeowners rebuilt after Sandy, Tuckerton replaced its infrastructure with an eye toward resiliency. It has plans to replace sewer and water pipes with salt-resistant materials and has already relocated its police department out of a floodplain.
We'll take you to Carroll Avenue first, which is the...
Gleghorn shows me where a main road was rebuilt higher so it stays above water during floods.
They built that up with asphalt to make it a little bit higher. Just enough so that if you had to get police in here or ambulance in here, you could ride the center line and make sure that you're out of the water.
Rutgers researchers project sea level will rise a foot and a half by 2050, while New Jersey itself gradually sinks. Now that the crush of immediate post-Sandy cleanup is over, shore communities are planning for this watery future.
We are looking at things like evacuation routes in the communities. Are they accessible with an additional feet of water posed by sea level rise?
That's Lisa Auermüller from the Jacques Cousteau Reserve in Tuckerton. She's helping about 20 Jersey Shore municipalities develop climate change adaptation plans.
Are there school districts in floodplains? If they are, we'll work with them to think about where they should move them to. Are there socially vulnerable residents, like people in nursing care facilities? Are they located in risky areas?
And if so, should they have to move?
So those are the kind of conversations we have.
It strikes me that these are really big questions for like a municipal administrator to be dealing with.
I would say they're ginormous questions for a municipality in whole to be dealing with. We hear that this is too big all the time.
Auermüller said climate change planning in New Jersey is largely happening from the bottom up. Tuckerton Borough joined with surrounding Little Egg Harbor Township for Sandy cleanup and resiliency planning. Still, Administrator Jenny Gleghorn says it feels like a tiny town against an impossibly big problem.
If the state of New Jersey would just say this is the type of thing that you need to do and here's some funding to help that out, I think a lot of towns would benefit from that. We can't be the only towns that are in this situation.
According to the Georgetown Climate Center, every state on the eastern seaboard, except for New Jersey, already has or is developing statewide climate change adaptation plans. Delaware and Maryland require state agencies to consider sea level rise in state-funded construction projects. And in Maine, Rhode Island, and Connecticut, local or state authorities must take sea level rise into account when issuing general construction permits on the coast. With sea levels rising, Tuckerton Beach and other neighborhoods on man-made lagoons are particularly at risk. These neighborhoods were built on top of former marshes that were filled in with sand and muck from dredging. Houses were constructed just above sea level. Recently, John Miller, a water resources engineer and certified floodplain manager, showed me around another lagoon community, Mystic Island. He had a map of projected sea levels for the year 2050 pulled up on his smartphone.
We're in Mystic Island, so this is south of Tuckerton Borough, and we are on twin lakes Boulevard?
Twin Lakes Boulevard is a main road with about a dozen smaller streets attached, jutting out like ribs into the water.
We're actually at a low point right here. Right where we are in 2050, we'll be underwater twice a month.
Communities like this one stopped being built in the 70s when New Jersey passed wetland protection rules. This summer, the state is proposing changes to related coastal rules in an effort to streamline permitting and cut down on red tape. Critics, including floodplain manager John Miller, say that proposed revisions go beyond that. He argues the changes will make development in vulnerable areas easier, just at a time when it should be more closely scrutinized.
They won't allow another Mystic Island, but they'll take the areas that are uplands or disturbed areas, and you will be able to add additional density to those areas.
One of the proposed changes would allow marinas to expand and include restaurants. It's being vocally supported by marina owners, including Kenny Kuyenga.
First name is Kenny, Captain Kenny K, owner of Vintage Marine Group and Cedar Cove Marina.
Sitting on the dock at his Tuckerton Marina, Kuyenga says the economic downturn gutted his business.
We are at a 62-slip marina, and as you take a look around, there's more water than there are boats, so I'm only sitting on 12 occupied slips. Again, you know, permitting for a little bit more activity in and around the waterfront in whatever direction that may go is certainly something that I would welcome and entertain wholeheartedly.
The proposed changes would make getting a permit for two houses or a duplex on a lot easier. Same for building a house within 100 feet of a body of water. The Department of Environmental Protection's Larry Haina clarifies this does not apply to wetlands or other protected areas.
We're not talking about building on dunes or building in environmentally sensitive areas. We're talking about basically infilling areas on the islands that have not been developed.
Haina says homes also must be built to new flood zone elevation and construction standards. Still, floodplain manager John Miller argues putting more people in risky areas will make it harder to evacuate them or reach them with emergency services.
When you are moving structures closer to the water, when you are increasing densities, when you're changing what are called water-dependent uses, you are now starting to get more and more development into high-risk areas, and that is our concern.
The challenge, of course, is that increased development is good for developers and for state and local coffers. Even after Sandy, Tuckerton Administrator Jenny Gleghorn said not rebuilding was not an option.
Unfortunately, a big part of our revenue comes from the shoreline homes, and we really need to keep that up there. The borough can't function.
A recent report sponsored by the Army Corps of Engineers found that risk reduction projects on the Atlantic coast have focused on fortification, not on steering development away from high-risk areas. That has led to stark increases in losses during coastal storms over the past century. The report authors write they don't have a magic bullet, as increased flooding and stronger storms are expected, but they say a coordinated response across levels of government will be key. For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.